Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So, guys, I'm accessible.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We got to pause this because Jerry Seinfeld has just shouted out your dad on Saturday Night Live.
I wasn't on Rich Eisen.
No, you were. I saw it.
I like Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests, Buccaneers head coach Todd Bowles. Host of the Life Gorgeous podcast, Craig Kilborn. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, baby, what a special edition of the Rich Eisen Show we have right here on the Roku channel, because it's very rare that we start the show with an in-studio guest right away. But for those who are seeing it on the Roku channel, you know what I'm referring to. And to the radio audience, I will basically describe it to you, the first in-studio guest. But, of course, who better to introduce the in-studio guest than the crazed owner of the Los Angeles Clippers? Hit it, Mike.
It's all about the Larry O.B.
That's correct. That's what this first hour of this show is about. The Larry O'Brien Trophy is, in fact, here on the Rich Eisen Show, right here on my desk. So to the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio audience, those listening on Sirius XM, those listening in on Odyssey, streaming it, or our podcast later on, thanks to the Cumulus Podcast Network, or if you're already on hold at 844-204-RICH, number to dial, it's a beautiful trophy sitting right here next to me. And it is a piece of Tiffany gold and silver. It is remade, actually, starting in 2022. They redesigned this trophy right here to my right. Let me see what else it's, I can also describe here. It is, let me see. Oh, my cards are all mixed up. My goodness. 24-karat gold vermeil, masked to reveal sterling silver that emphasizes the channels of the ball and the net. Look at this right here.
Yeah, I love that.
It's like it's like the net. You know, and the ball's going through the net.
And the ball's got the perfect groove lines. It's spectacular.
It really is. The base here has been reformed to feature two stacked discs. The top disc lists the first 75 NBA champions. So, TJ, you cannot, unfortunately for you, take any tools and etch the names Los Angeles Clippers on the top disc right here. And then starting this year, the name of each NBA champion will be etched on the bottom disc of each new trophy.
What?
Ensuring that each team's going to receive a one-of-a-kind trophy bearing its name. And
that's cool. That's
and so this spot right here next to Larry O'Brien trophy, perfect spot to etch the New York Knickerbockers right in there one more time. What do you think about that?
Well, and Brockman
has far different ideas as the Celtics return to the playoff basketball court tonight for game one against the Cleveland Cavaliers in TD Garden. And then we've got the Thunder and the Mavericks having at it.
Great series.
In that second round series in the Western Conference. Last night we saw more action in round two. And it's kind of thrilling for me to be looking at this beautiful trophy right here to my right on the desk and ask the question that I think people are kind of asking right now after certainly last night's action on Monday night in round two of the playoffs. The question is, who wants to be Michael Jordan? And there are two people who raised their hands last night and said, I'd like to be Michael Jordan. As a matter of fact, I mean, I don't know. We got to see if either Anthony Edwards or Jalen Brunson were wearing little Bow Wow sneakers.
Hey, you were in that movie, right?
I was indeed.
Yes.
Nice.
Who knows? Maybe these residual check envelopes that I have to my right actually be paying me the 50 cents I earned from like Mike. Please rent them. So Anthony Edwards, let's start with him. Because the name Michael Jordan keeps being associated with him with each passing game in these NBA playoffs, sweeping out the Suns, stunning the Denver Nuggets in a close one over the weekend in the first game of round two. And then last night, along with Karl Anthony Towns' double-double, he just absolutely punked the defending champion Denver Nuggets last night. And there he is flexing. We're showing that on the screen. He kind of flexed a Hulk Hogan-type bicep flex after showing Caldwell Pope a thing or two. There he is on the floor doing that last night. Mm. And this is after, I guess, he nutmegged himself to keep Reggie Jackson from stealing the ball and then broke his ankles, figuratively, wound up on the floor, Reggie Jackson didn't, as if people didn't, you know, notice that Anthony Edwards literally pointed it out. And then here he goes, shooting a three last night and giving the Michael Jordan shrug. Did you see that one? He shrugged. By the way, the three-pointer gave him 23 points on the night at that point in time in the game. Shrugged.
It's his world right
and
now, dude.
And here's the thing, too, that's pretty amazing about, and this is the team effort as well. Certainly doing this without Rudy Gobert and their head coach sitting in the first row because he can't sit where he normally is or stand where he normally stands because he's got to protect his surgically repaired leg in Chris Finch. They are playing lights out defense, which, by the way, now that's what puts you in Jordan's category as well, or in the galaxy, because truly you got to lift this trophy to my right six times to be,
yep,
you know, in the same sentence as him, legitimately. 34.9% Denver scored last night, 19 turnovers. Michael Malone went directly in the face of one of the officials last night, who had remarkable restraint to not tee the coach of the Denver Nuggets up on the spot.
That was amazing.
And then...
Look at the vein in his neck.
I mean, the...
How did he not get teed for that?
Well, he right in the face.
I mean, you could read his lips. I mean, it's shocking. Yeah.
Jamal Murray. The Lakers have got to be, like, sitting down the street from us, shaking their head. Like, against us, it's a heat check. Against the Timberwolves, it's a heat pack check.
Nice. Well done.
You know what I mean? Like, he's out of his skull on the bench doing out of his skull things, and we'll talk about that later on. 19 turnovers the Timberwolves created. This thing was toast.
It was over early. I mean, lickety split. Second quarter, you're like, this game's over.
And so after the game, Anthony Edwards was asked about what he does on the court and what it gives him, the flexing, shrugging, pointing, or in that one moment that I saw that went viral last night, I forget who he was backing down. Was it Caldwell Pope he was backing down? And Kevin Harlan's call was banging, hitting, spinning, doubling, and he makes the shot.
Yeah. Kevin Harlan was on one.
Well, I mean, so is Anthony Edwards. So is this Timberwolves team that is halfway home. Heading home to dethroning the Denver Nuggets or giving a new set of fingerprints on this trophy. By the way, the Larry O'Brien trophy's on my desk. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I mean, I'm not even listening to you, to be honest. I'm just staring at the trophy.
I'm imagining it
on a duck boat in 6 weeks.
By the way, it's very shiny, which adds to the extra shine here. you know, on my head. But at any rate, I'm sorry, where was I? Oh, yeah. Anthony Edwards was asked after the game what everything that he does on the court, a little as Marv would call extracurricular, gives him.
What it do for me, it definitely gives me energy. But it's, I feel like I've always done that, no matter what stage it's on. If it's in the regular season, the preseason, if I do something nice, I'm going, I got to let it be known. If I get an N1, I got to flex, make somebody fall, I'm going to point at them. So, you know, and it brings excitement to the game. So hopefully someone tries to, like, come back and score on me or something like that. So that's probably, that's why I do it.
Okay. You guys get anything out of that?
Hell no. Nah,
let me put it like this. When Ant's out there talking to I know that we in for a good night.
That's amazing.
Listen, I know it's Tuesday. It's not an overreaction Monday, but you just got to get the sense here that we're in some sort of honeymoon, getting to meet you phase with Anthony Edwards. And if he continues to do what he does, and he does it over and over again and season to season, a lot of people in the NBA community and fandom are going to start to really hate him.
You know that
they're going to hate on him. Yeah. They are, because he is coming for you.
Yeah, we love you going nowhere.
We love you at first, and then we hate you. Exactly. Ask the Chiefs.
Well, ask Steph Curry, too. Even some people are like sick and tired of him biting on his mouth guard and killing you with his smile and his three-pointers.
You know how that goes. First they love you, then they hate you. Then
but we're just 6 games into the playoffs for the Timberwolves. They're 6-0. And the Denver Nuggets are heading to Minnesota. By the way, their next game is on Friday. And you got to wonder if they're going to have Jamal Murray. We'll talk about that later on. But
get familiar with Ant Edwards, America. Get familiar.
Well,
he's going to be in your lives for a while.
I'll tell you one community that's familiar with him outside of Minnesota. Phoenix. All right. And Denver has now got to personally eyeball him at 52-80. And he crushed it. So,
wow.
Who wants to be Michael Jordan? We just talked about Anthony Edwards, who is being associated with Michael Jordan. How about Jalen Brunson potentially raising his hand in Madison Square Garden? How about Jalen Brunson with another 40-piece for the New York Knickerbockers?
No big deal.
Last night. How about them apples for him? And let me make sure I get this right. 21 in the fourth quarter. 21 of his 43 in the fourth quarter. And that gives him not one, not two, not three, but 4 consecutive 40-point games in the playoffs. And you know how I keep saying how I never thought there'd be another Nick who makes me feel like the Knicks, like Bernard King did. And that is not a slight on Patrick Ewing.
Kind of sounds like
no, it. Let me explain myself here, because there's a lot of Ewing slander that's happening right now. So much so to the point where even Brockman has a problem.
Yeah,
with
even
it.
I was okay. Like, whoa,
I know.
Calm
so,
down.
So when Bernard King was doing Bernard King things, I was a teenager. I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brunson makes me feel like a teenager, like a kid again. So Ewing, I was a GAM, a grown-ass man.
It's a different feeling.
It's
You're
a different
right.
feeling.
Yeah.
A different feeling. And the last Nick to score 40 points in a playoff game 4 straight times is named Bernard King. The last individual to do it, period. 40-point games 4 straight times in the playoffs is named Michael Jordan. Who wants to be Michael Jordan? Jalen Brunson's like, I'll do it.
The record is 6 in a row by Jerry West.
Yeah, who's,
so you're either the logo, the greatest player ever, or the greatest Nick ever.
What?
Take your pick.
A time to have the Larry O'Brien trophy on the desk.
It's incredible.
To talk about this stuff. Right?
It's wild, man. It's wild. By the way, and in the other game, Brunson only had 39. So he's kind of on one.
Killing it. And what a dynamite playoff basketball game that was in Madison Square Garden last night. This thing is going to go deep. It's going to go deeper than the Knicks series with the Sixers, I believe, which means 7.
Feels like, it's a pace that Indiana wants to play.
Certainly, if the Knicks are playing just 7 people,
sort of. I mean, it's
honestly,
six and
Precious
a half.
Achiuwa played 4 minutes last night as the 8th man in for the Knicks. It's looks like a 6.5 man rotation, all due respect to Deuce McBride, because he's not going to get on the court with the way Brunson is lighting it up. And then Josh Hart, my God, Josh Hart, have a playoffs. You said before the show, ask the question you asked before the show to all of us here.
When did Josh Hart turn into Dennis Rodman?
Bingo. With, by the way, a lot more scoring ability, with all due respect to Rodman.
I said, he looks like prime Barkley. Like, you look at Barkley's MVP season, that's what Josh Hart's been doing this playoffs. With the scoring and the rebounding. Oh, by the way, he had 8 assists last night.
He almost had a triple-double. And the big ragu, DiVincenzo,
did
with the
again.
Big three.
Did it again, man.
To
that
put him in front.
And
the,
nickname,
man, the Nova Knicks. The Nova Knicks are for real. For real. And this is what Brunson had to say last night. Typical of him. He talked about teamwork.
I don't know. We just find a way. No matter what it is, we just give each other confidence to make sure we can get the job done. So it's nothing in particular. It's just the group of guys that we have. We all just give each other confidence and move forward together.
All right. Who wants to be Michael Jordan? Not Michael B. Jordan.
Well, that,
by the way,
I'm
signed for that.
No, I know that. I know that. I know that. I know
longer. You feel me?
By the way, I'm rewatching The Wire.
Honest.
It's great to see him as a kid killing it in acting.
Right.
In,
it's
in,
weird
in,
to go
in
back and
one.
It's like, wow, he's 12.
I know. Who wants to be Michael Jordan? And again, even if either one of these two guys lifts this beautiful piece of Tiffany hardware to my right, they'll still be 5 shy of matching Michael. And obviously they're ascending in their careers. One being a superstar that many first overall picks in a draft don't, right? Correct?
A lot of misses at number 1 overall.
And not this kid, pal. Right? And then you got a guy who everybody in New York City is like, really? We're going to give him all this money? This is the big free agent ad when Knicks fans are all waiting for the big star to say, I'll come back to New York, or I'll come to New York and put the Knicks back on a pedestal. I'll be the one to lead the way when nobody's coming because nobody saw anything there. I mean, Durant played for the Nets. I cannot tell everybody enough what an absolute wake-up call, smell the coffee, for a New York sports fan, a New York Knicks fan, sitting there in Manhattan or wherever they are in the 5 boroughs, and have truly one of the greats of all time, and certainly at the time, prime of his career, decide, I will play for the Nets. With all due respect to Kyrie, saying he dreamt of it while watching Drazen light it up in Brendan Byrne Arena, whatever. Listen, when he goes to the Nets, it's just like, who's coming? Will anybody ever come? Would LeBron dare to do it? And Brunson's like, I'll do it. And he's a superstar. When he comes to New York, and so many guys also flop when they get a 9-figure contract and go to New York City and nobody expects anything of them. And what he's turned himself into. And now you're already hearing what Devin Booker wants a piece. Maybe Durant wants a piece.
Yeah, because the Knicks are good and they want to ride coattails.
Maybe. That's fine with me, buddy.
Also, Brunson's contract is now the biggest bargain in sports.
Maybe so.
Here's a question. Does he try to renegotiate for a little bit more scratch?
Hey. You just stick with figuring out who's coming to the Philadelphia 76ers.
Look, I got all summer for that guy. Okay. I got all summer.
And what Steve Ballmer's going to figure out. But in the meantime,
I'm here to throw monkey wrenches in the place.
That's how we're going full circle.
Stir it up.
Speaking about Steve Ballmer, this show is...
It's all about the Larry O.B.
Certainly in hour number 1. Todd Bowles is going to join us in hour number 2. Nice. The Larry O'Brien Trophy is just here for the first hour. Which means the man in our third hour is going to be disappointed he's going to miss it. But Craig Kilborn's coming in, my longtime colleague from long ago, the worldwide leader in sports. Just so everyone understands, I kind of cultivated this caper last week when the Timberwolves swept out the Suns. I figured out when's a good time for Craig to come in. And then, you know, I chose today because, as you pointed out, game three isn't until Friday.
Right.
So there's lots of time for whatever we talk about today to age well or poorly or what have you. And so I texted Craig, hey, you free next Tuesday, 11 a.m. to come in and hang, fresh off of game two versus Nuggets. He wrote, right in the middle of another Wolves sweep. Yes, that works. A martini glass, a wolf, and a fist pound emoji.
Well, well, well.
Speaking of wolf, you knew it was over at halftime, right? Where when TNT went to break and they played the NWO Wolfpack theme. It was like, this game is a wrap.
Well, better be after that.
When they had 30, when Denver had 35 at halftime, and you're like, jeez.
So Lord Kilby's a seer, and he's also got a top five of himself.
Five? Ooh.
Yes, top five favorite athletes in Craig Kilborn's life. I wonder, like,
yes, Ant is on the list.
Well, no, I'm
I thought you were.
Pooh. Sabonis, would they crack the list? Is he going to really just like keep it within the rails? I don't know.
Your Vetus?
I don't know.
He's not my Vetus. He's our Vetus.
Pooh Richardson.
Two Live Pooh. That was great.
Two Live Pooh.
Is, will this be his actual favorites or his sports center
favorites?
That's
what favorites? I mean. I don't know. I'm going actual. I think actual.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're hanging with Larry O'Brien here in the studio. The new beautiful trophy that, by the way, has its own Instagram, X, TikTok, and Facebook page, at NBA Finals Trophy.
As it should.
So follow the exploits of the Larry O'Brien Trophy, which was at the Brady Roast, by the way.
Was
on Sunday night.
Oh man, I missed it.
On the red carpet.
Nice.
So when we come back, I have a power rankings. The top 10 Larrys.
Hey.
I'm going to power rank the Larrys of all time.
All right.
Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH, and somebody pre-show didn't want to take a picture with the trophy.
Oh, boo hoo.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Just like the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Again, when it came out of its crate with its blue Tiffany bag, which, by the way, the Lombardi Trophy also rests in, mm-hmm. because Tiffany makes the Lombardi Trophy. That's all silver. This is mostly gold with silver. And not Adam. Is the silver called Adam? Is that what it is? I'm looking at our NBA friends. No, that's a dad joke I'm making to my new NBA friends. Hey, Adam Silver.
Oh,
and
I
gold.
See.
You see what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
Got Got him.
The roast was 2 days ago.
You got him.
At any rate, I'd have been booed off the stage with that joke.
Yeah, that's the Affleck joke.
But at any rate, the trophy comes out, and just like the Stanley Cup, it had its own case. Just like all the trophies have their own cases.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Perfect, yeah.
And so it comes out of the case, and you gotta in order to touch it, put the white felt gloves on, just like all the other trophies that have come here, right? Unlike all the other trophies that have come here, though, one person
would not
take a photograph with it. Now, our friend
TJ
is in the studio, unlike the last time. Our director, Mr. Monaco,
would not
take a photograph with the Stanley Cup because the Rangers are in it. And the Rangers are the President's Cup winners. Wouldn't take a picture with it. And the Rangers haven't lost yet. So I gave him relentless amounts of grief. Like, when is the Stanley Cup going to be back here? What are we going to do? What are we doing?
It was warranted.
Don't you think?
I think you need to apologize.
Because, no, I don't. Because the fact that whether John Monaco took a photograph with the Stanley Cup has nothing to do with the way the Rangers are playing hockey.
I really don't know that.
How do you know?
What do you mean, how do I know?
You can't be sure.
I can say with 100% certainty.
No, you cannot.
No, you absolutely cannot say with
100%.
Maybe 99%. Yeah, you can do the Jordan 99.9.
Monaco doesn't have a chance to speak for himself here. Hoskins, who can't speak to him over the table in our control room. Hoskins, ask Monaco if he or anybody in his family has any direct contact with anybody who plays for the New York Rangers. I can already say I don't need to hear the answer. The answer is no. The answer is no.
It's your opinion.
That's a no. It's confirmed from the control room.
It's emotional, Rich. You know how that works.
Chris Brockman would not take a photograph with the Larry O'Brien trophy. What's up with that? What's the matter with you?
He stayed about 5 feet away from it.
What's going on?
I don't think there's anything. There's nothing going on, and there's nothing the matter with me.
I have
Say you're scared.
I have right here on the card.
Scared of what? We're a historically great team.
Excuse me.
In 6 weeks, this is going to be on a duck boat, and Paul Pierce is going to throw it to, Jason Tatum.
If you're that confident, why wouldn't you take a photo?
Yeah, exactly. Because like I'm just going to wait.
But you're not.
Yeah, but it's not going to be here.
You're not going to be on the duck boat, though, guy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be on the duck
boat. You think Antoine Walker's going to hand you the trophy?
Brady's going to invite me on the duck boat? I mean, come on.
Tuan's not going to hand you the trophy.
I have
this
information on the card that I've been provided of information. There were two teams that made the playoff field this year that had a chance, if they win it all, to be the franchise that has won the championship more than any other in the history of the NBA because they're tied at 17 apiece.
Lakers have 12. The Minneapolis Lakers have 5.
Okay. Oh, yeah. My God.
I know a lot of people in here hate accuracy and facts these days, but it's Minneapolis 5.
I do see Min Lakers.
Los Angeles 12.
I do see Min Lakers on this trophy.
Boston has 17. Okay. So we got a 5 edge.
All right.
So the Rams really only have one in
the
LA.
The Boston Celtics have won 17 of these, and they did it without you ever taking a picture with this trophy. So,
well, to be fair, 11 of them, there were only 8 teams in the league.
I get
so
the superstition.
Like,
right. Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
I get the superstition.
Is that right? There are only 8 of them?
I didn't touch an Emmy until I won one.
They won 11. So.
See? Brockman knows you don't touch an Emmy until you win one.
Oh,
I told him that's been a long time.
That's dumb.
But it's...
That's dumb.
We haven't had a team this dominant in a long time. So I'm just, being
cautious.
I
like this, Brockman.
Are you still concerned about your Game 7 TD Garden appearance years ago when LeBron was in there,
that was awful.
And you wound up being the cooler.
That was really
are you?
Bad.
I mean,
really
are you
bad.
Still
that
scarred
really
by
bad.
That experience?
You know
and
what?
You
that, I was actually reading some stuff about that the other night. Oof. Yeah, so that was Game 7, 2018, 17-18 playoffs. Big lead. God, Terry Rozier was so bad in that game. I am a little bit scarred from that, to be honest.
Okay,
I get it.
A little
I
bit
get
scarred
him.
From that.
I'm not against this, Brock.
I like cut a short. I cut short a trip home.
I remember
to visit my family.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, Game 7's tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna go to the game.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it did not go well.
I get it.
I had like the scary Terry shirt on. Oh man, it was bad.
I just don't understand this
you
whole
do not,
thing.
TJ, do not look at the Lombardi Trophy.
I used to be so as a kid. you know, in the Bernard King era of my life, I used to be so superstitious.
Did you have
about
your socks pulled up to your knees like
no,
Michael Ray?
No, no, no. I had to sit in a certain. If I was listening on the radio in my room, I had to sit on the edge of my bed in a certain spot, and if I moved, it was going to be a problem.
Well, yeah. This goes back to me playing like baseball growing up, and like, you know, you didn't wash your uniform or you set it out a certain way. But you did your glove thing, and then
me prepping my clothes.
This
and you
goes
guys
back to
me.
Like being a kid.
You're prepping your clothes.
I also really, really care about this. Like, you know, the Pats and the. I'm such a Fairweather Bruins fan. The Pats thing is really played up for the show. I'm being really honest. Like, the Pats thing is a little bit played up.
Yes.
But, like, the Red Sox and Celtics is what I really, really care about.
Okay. So then let me ask you this question. At how close do you fear to be from this trophy? Because you're about.
This is good. No, I got about 10 like, feet away if, earlier. If, I got the picture on the
if
floor.
If I put the gloves on
and walked
and
it over here,
picked up the trophy and walked it over to you. This is kind of like the it's kind of like the cliffhanger game. You know, we could do the yodeling from where I'm on the cliffhanger walking up. I'm walking up the mountain, getting closer, and then you have to scream stop.
I think like if it was on the desk, it would be a little too close.
So like 2 feet,
like you know,
like what, is there a restraining order?
Would you run
like
from it?
Is there like some sort
run,
of?
But it was just like it's a little
weird.
Too close.
Really?
Like,
you're, like you're in the room, you're looking right at it.
I know, which is cool.
Yeah,
remember when you were in elementary school and you were a boy, you thought the girls had cooties and they'd come by you and you're like,
my God.
Cooties, run! Would you like run?
When I went to elementary school, I went to a bunch of elementary schools, and in Alaska, one year they brought one of those like 25-foot pythons.
Let me tell you, I'm not going insane.
And they had it just like sitting on the stage in the gym.
No,
and it was like we all got to like go and touch it. That was
so.
That was nuts.
Like if I picked it up and walked it over, you'd have a problem.
I mean,
like
you'd start saying, "I don't really want it on the desk. I don't really want it close by, like in my airspace."
Rich, I get it. He wants a buffer, like the Godfather.
The buffer.
He needs a buffer.
Yeah, got a lot of buffers.
He's got a lot of buffers. He wants a buffer.
Okay.
Again, I'm just waiting for the duck boat. That's all.
Are the batteries ordered yet?
I'm just waiting for the duck boat.
Now I really want the
batteries, Brock.
Now I really want the Knicks to win because I took pictures with it. It's sitting right on the desk. I could see my reflection. It looks fantastic. Huh?
What if you jinx the Knicks?
Because that's fair.
Whatever.
This, whatever.
It's so stupid. It's dumb.
What if the Pacers take the next four?
Exactly.
The only possible explanation.
I will tell you this.
Pacers should have won last night.
I will tell you this. As somebody who spent many nights as a teenager, as a kid, losing his mind over superstition about where I was on a couch, what I had eaten, what I was doing, what I was thinking, and it was all wasted. Dumbass energy.
I don't know.
Superstitions are dumb.
Oh, see, I do not believe that at all.
That is a terrible take.
In front of my two new friends from the NBA and the Larry O'Brien Trophy, my worst take in the history of this show was that the Miami Heat should not trade for Giannis.
Yeah, that guys, you missed that.
That was really bad.
Like they might actually take the trophy off my desk and leave early.
We've gotten years of great content.
Terrible idea.
That's still a bad take. Come on.
The Heat would be three-time champions right now in a row.
Honestly, I would love for people to call in. Who's superstitious? Who's not?
I just put on a poll.
And you are, right?
I just put on a poll.
Oh, yeah. So
are superstitions dumb?
Yeah, and I'm sure people on X will be completely level-headed about that. I will lose that 90-10.
One vote is in, and it's 100%.
I want reasonable people to call the number.
Yeah, but a poll goes against me on X. It's
you think Kilborn? You think Kilborn is superstitious?
Yes, he
100%.
He was
no
a baller.
Way.
He grew up playing ball. He's superstitious.
Lord
Kilby's
tied his shoes the right way. He has socks a certain way.
Lord Kilby is on a higher level and plane of living than most of us humans.
He does not bother himself
with his positioning on a couch while the Timberwolves are dominating right now.
Well, he may now, bro.
He probably uses the same glass for his martinis.
Same martini glass.
Exactly.
Pours it the same way.
If he was superstitious, he would never set foot in the studio talking about the Timberwolves amidst a playoff run.
What do you mean? He predicted that they were going to be midway to a sweep.
Because he doesn't care about typing it because he knows superstitions are dumb. He's just going to root for his team and let the chips fall.
Oh.
Take a picture with the trophy. Oh. Take a picture is what I'm saying.
Well, now I'm not.
It bothers me.
Now I'm
not
doing
not
it. Now I'm definitely not doing
See,
it
now,
because
yeah,
you
yeah.
want to do it so badly.
He's trying to mush you.
I'm not trying to. He's mushing himself.
He's not. He doesn't want to go near it. I get it. I get it.
Hold on a minute.
What if I'm mushing myself?
What if the Celtics wind up losing because you didn't take a picture of the trophy?
How's that not possible?
How about the Larry O'Brien trophy is offended by your silliness right now?
If we lose, it'll have nothing to do with me. It'll be Tatum settling for fadeaway jump shots.
Oh. Okay.
It'll be Jaylen Brown turning the ball over.
Which has nothing to do with you taking a picture with the trophy.
It'll be Porzingis doesn't come back. It'll be Joe Mazzulla chokes under the big leg.
Exactly.
Like, I know all the reasons why they won't
win. Bro.
But all those things won't happen because you didn't take a picture with the trophy.
Bingo.
So stupid.
Can I just tell you,
that's dumb.
When you believe in things you don't understand, then you suffer.
So stupid.
Superstition.
Rich, you're a religious man. Religion is superstition.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Careful. No. Careful.
I hate to be the bearer of
No. No. Oh, my God. That just fell off the mountain there. All right, let's take a break. My God, in front of God and the Larry O'Brien trophy. What is the matter with you?
The audacity.
All right, let's take a break.
I was just saying.
Superstition.
Take a picture with the damn trophy while it's here.
I'm still in roast
mode. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about... how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mike in Orlando, Florida wants to talk about superstitions while we're on the subject matter. What's up, Mike?
Mikey.
How are you?
I'm Mike. Rich, how are we doing, guys?
I'm great. Thank you. What do you got?
So I got a great story for you. Well, and this is why superstitions are real.
Ooh.
2001 World Series. I'm a diehard Yankee fan. We're going for four in a row, as you know, and we lose in seven.
Yes.
I sat in the same spot for the three games we won at Yankee Stadium. The three games we won at Yankee Stadium. My brother goes to sleep early the first six games of that series. He's a Mets fan. Game seven rolls around. I'm staying up the full game. I'm like, go to bed. The Yankees are going to win. Go to bed. Soriano hits the home run. I'm like, go to bed. Go to bed. Go to bed. He stays up. We all know what happens. It's real.
Yeah, but wait a minute. So your brother slept through the game six ass kicking the Yankees got? You know what I mean? So what does that matter? The Yankees...
He went to bed early for that one. It didn't matter. He's like, oh, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, though.
He also went to bed early. He didn't see the Tino home run. He didn't see the Brocious home run.
Ooh.
He didn't see Jeter become Mr. November.
But he also didn't see the fact that the Yankees lost games in the war. Some of the games the Yankees lost, they lost every game in Arizona. So you didn't see those either. That's what I'm saying. Why does it matter? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're just wondering why... So your brother was awake... So that's why they brought the infield in with Mariano on the mound. I had no idea. I was wondering what's up with that. And then,
what's up with that?
And I had no idea. I had no idea that Luis Gonzalez was able to get that seeing eyeball through the infield because your brother was awake. My bad, Mike. I've been wondering. Thank you, by the way, Mike, for calling in. And solving that mystery, like it was honestly, like I thank you for the call, Mike. I don't know. Listen, In Search Of. Remember that move? That show?
Great show,
right? Leonard Nimoy. Right?
In Search of Noah's Ark was my favorite.
I've been in search of the answer for 23 years, and I finally got it. Mike and Orlando's brother was up. Tell me how superstitious. That's what I'm at this moment. Oh, I'm sitting there and I'm wondering, why is this happening? This is really weird. And I had no idea Mike and Orlando's brother was awake.
If I had known that, I would have, because
I'm just pointing out how silly superstitions are.
I mean, you're not superstitious. You were at the game. Maybe you were the mush in that game.
I was at the mush. In the eighth inning when Mariano was striking out the side in the eighth inning, I was the mush, right?
By the way, Nick Turturro, one of your favorite people, is one of the most superstitious Yankees fans you've ever met.
And I love Nick Turturro, and I will say this with love. How rational does he come across?
Well, maybe not my best witness.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
I get it.
Just saying.
I have a power rankings, guys, with the Larry O'Brien here.
Let's go.
I'm here for it.
I have my top 10 Larrys power ranked. Hit it. rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, I've got my power rankings, my Larry power rankings with the Larry O'Brien trophy right
let's
here.
Go.
I say this with all respect to all the Larrys that don't make the list. I still love you. Number 10 on the list.
Are we making Larrys anymore?
Number 10 on the list. Okay. He was one of my favorites sitting down and watching a major big time bout on HBO. I love this guy, his commentary during the fight in the ring, sitting next to Jim Lampley. Okay. And then after, he would ask a bunch of fighters some questions that they really didn't want to answer. His name is Larry Merchant.
Yes. Okay.
And I don't forget what this was about, but it's one of my favorite drops in the history of this show. Larry Merchant once said this. Who is he saying this to?
I'm pretty sure it's the Floyd Mayweather.
Floyd Mayweather? Yeah. Hit it.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
How do you not put Larry Merchant on a Larry power ranking?
Yes.
May he rest in peace. Yes. We had him on this show. I miss you, Larry Merchant. Number 10.
He's still with us.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I didn't mean... By the way, you know... By the way,
I quickly looked that up. Yeah,
oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
He's 93.
That's it. Keep going, Larry.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
He just said that to you, Rich.
I know. By the way, Stuart Scott once killed off Richard Pryor on SportsCenter. I was sitting at home watching it, and he's called Richard Pryor, the late, great Richard Pryor. And I'm like, wait a minute. I called the control room. I'm like, did Richard Pryor die? They're like, no, we're going to have to fix this later on. All right. Sorry, Larry, but you made my power ranking, so that's the silver lining. Number 9. Just like the three of you guys.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Uh-oh.
Just like the three of you guys are all superstitious, and you in particular, Chris, we're not taking a picture with this trophy. You're all stooges. Okay? You, sir, TJ, you're Mo. You're Curly, Mike.
And
you, sir,
that, you know.
You're Larry. Larry Fine, number 9 on the list.
Yeah.
Of the three stooges of the power rankings, Larry Fine, the great Larry. In between Moe and Curly, there he is on the right. What a head of hair he had. On the sides. Okay.
Hey.
Okay. Speaking of which, that's a little foreshadowing.
Okay.
Number 8 on this list. I thought he was going to win me one of these. I thought he was going to bring this to Madison Square Garden. LJ, Larry Johnson, his four-point play is one of the greatest shots in the history of Madison Square Garden.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Not just shots being made and won, but just that shot,
the wide
camera shot they have. I'm getting goosebumps from up top that they shot at Madison Square Garden when he had a three-point and one. Grandmama, Larry Johnson is number 8 on this list.
This, Chris?
Number 7 on this list. He was in this show studio years and years and years ago. A legendary voice in the broadcasting world from Miami when he was doing games with the Dolphins with Hank Goldberg, remember that, back in the day? Larry King is on this list.
Yes.
And we still have a bunch of his drops, right, from back in the day when
don't
he was here?
Care.
What else we got? What else?
Good point.
What else?
The caller makes a good point.
Okay,
I said it once, I'll say it again. The Patriots are fascists.
Okay, what else?
Boy Del Tufo.
Boy Del Tufo.
You're listening to DJ Mike D, 8 wheels, no brakes.
Save the best for last.
We actually made Larry King read that.
Mike.
All right.
Now you can use the RIP because Larry King.
Oh, my God.
Tufo, we need that one.
Number 6. Perhaps the greatest TV show in the history of TV shows.
Yes. A little low on this list. I got to be honest.
This show is one of my favorites, and I need to start rewatching it. One of the greatest late night talk show hosts ever, Larry Sanders, is on this list.
Nice.
Played by Gary Shandling.
Good one.
There he is. Hank Kingsley. Hey now.
Hey now.
And Artie.
Hey now.
My gosh. I miss the Larry Sanders show. Larry Sanders on this list. All right, here we go. Top 5.
Top 5.
We're going back to the world of television. Very few people can play a major on I Dream of Jeannie and then J.R. Ewing. Larry Hagman's on this list, everybody. Top 5 of my Larry power rankings. By the way, I dreamt of Jeannie my entire freaking life. All right, Barbara Eden. Should I say rest in peace as well there? But J.R. Ewing did not die. I do remember when J.R. Ewing got shot, and that happened, and then the reveal is who shot J.R.?
By the way, cliffhanger in television
Barbara
history.
Eden's still with us.
Oh, my God.
She's 92.
What the hell am I doing?
She's 92. Wow.
Okay. I meant Larry Hagman.
Okay, great.
Yeah, Larry Hagman, yes.
Damn it.
I like Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
All right, thank you. Larry Hagman is my top, is in my Larry Power Rankings top five right here. By the way, the Who Shot JR thing.
Oh, biggest cliffhanger ever?
Let me tell you something. My parents, they even turned off 880 radio. They even turned 1010
Wins.
They
didn't get news on the 8th.
No, they forewent traffic and weather together for an entire day because they didn't want it revealed because the folks in UK saw Dallas, that episode of Dallas, before it came to the United States.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, and we were not going to have that thing spoiled when we had the VCR on timer. Okay. Number four, one of my favorites that I've gotten to meet and cover in the National Football League, future first ballot Hall of Famer, Larry Fitzgerald is number four on this list. Number three on this list, homage to you, sir, and homage to this trophy to my right, Larry Bird is Larry Legend, number three on this list in terms of shooting and playing and trash talking.
Well done.
Larry Bird on this list. Boy, did I hate him. Good Lord. Number of times that I thought this trophy would be in Madison Square Garden, but wasn't because of him. Oh, my God. One of my top five hated players as a Knick fan. Number one is going to be in Madison Square Garden, too. Oh, not number one. Number two. And Reggie Miller is going to be in Madison Square Garden for TNT on Wednesday night. He said the boogeyman's coming. All right, Reggie. All right. He doesn't make my Reggie Power Rankings. Yeah. Number two, my favorite guest. One of my favorite guests in the history of this program. The great Larry David is number two on this list. LD, thank you very much. Look, I love that picture of him. It's just everything about this man just speaks to my fiber of my being. Okay, everything. He's number two on this list. And number one, in honor of this trophy being on my desk, is the Larry OB. But not just the Larry OB. It's the Larry O'Brien Trophy in Madison Square Garden. That's
specifically.
Specifically location. Well, I would have said, you know, the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, but that's for you to Google about who Larry O'Brien was before he was a commissioner, third commissioner of the NBA, not to give everyone a history lesson. But the Larry O'Brien in Madison Square Garden is atop my Larry Power Rankings. I deliver to you here on the Rich Eisen.
All about the Larry O'B. Well
in Madison Square Garden.
Specifically.
Thank you so much.
That's a good job.
There you go. That's my power rankings of top Larrys of all time.
I can only think of one Larry that you left off, and that's, you're killing me, Larry. But that other than that.
No, that's too local. That's number one, I believe. And then number two is, I don't want to do that because I didn't mean to kill off two people during my power rankings anyway. By the way, words I've never said in conjunction with each other. My apologies to Larry Merchant and Barbara Eden.
We hope you will.
I think we're all shocked that, honestly, that they're still alive. But hey,
and to the NBA for me to associate my disassociation with their association.
I'm glad that they're still with us.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Now that's a superstition.
Huh? Yeah,
that's true.
Yes, knocking
you knock on wood. It's a superstition.
It's a phrase.
It's a phrase.
No, that's a superstition.
It's a phrase.
You don't want something to happen. You knock on wood.
It's a phrase.
Nope, superstition.
Got him.
You be quiet.
Got him.
Our number one in the books.
We got him.
Attaboy, Mike.
Todd Bowles, the Bucks coming up. We're still here. Oh, boy. I'm going to miss this trophy being on my desk.
Yeah, this was a great hour.
Yeah, normally I just have my mug.
Pretty cool.
And it is bigger than...
It's definitely bigger than you think. Yeah.
Let's see. Do we have the height here? How tall is this?
It's got to be 2.5 feet, right? At least. How big?
We're on the air. They don't think we're talking about the air.
Oh, no. We are talking to you guys. How tall is it?
What is it?
3 feet. I think it's almost 3 feet.
It's almost 3 feet. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
I thought the
ball
was regulation size.
You asked.
If they lose a ball, they just take it off the trophy and start playing with it?
Just rip it straight off. Is the ball regulation size?
Look at that.
And you want to be my latex salesman.
25 and a half inches. It's 29 pounds.
Thank you, sir.
And just to all Clippers fans, I took a picture holding up a Clippers jersey next to it because, unfortunately, I feel like that's the closest we're going to get to it. But if you want it, let me know.
And you took a Sixers picture with it. You put up a Sixers jersey. Exact antithesis of this guy who won't even put his mug behind it. You put your face and the jerseys of your favorite
teams are out, so it's not really applicable.
And both of his teams have zero chance of ever winning.
So you don't think somebody this self-assured was like, that's not, yeah, if you're not superstitious about saying that?
You know what?
Some things are just facts, Rich Eisen.
The Celtics will not win this year because there's a man named Ant Edwards existing on Earth.
All right, say goodbye to Larry. Thanks for coming in, Larry. Thanks for stopping by, Larry. We'll see you in New York. Canyon of Heroes would be great for you.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on. Right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.